Blog Talk Radio. What's your outlook on that, bro?
Me, I just want to say this. First time hearing anything about it, I don't know who dude is, but he is smart.
Yeah.
He is smart. He's getting in on the industry on the ground level.
It makes sense. I mean, we see the economic growth it has brought to Washington, Seattle area, the Washington State, and also Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So and we had a caller who previously posed to us, why are we not getting into the business? The man is smart.
I mean, we honestly think these people didn't know that the marijuana industry was a lucrative one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the reason why it's been illegal for so many years. So when we know that the talks are going into legalization, why don't we put ourselves in a position to be to make a profit? Yeah, he's smart, but that's kind of common sense. Once you have the resources to do what he did, why wouldn't you? If you had the resources to go get a grow house and go...
No. It ain't legal here.
I'm saying, okay, but it's,
the talks are there now. It is an option once it's legal.
That's the problem. You wait until somebody else is already preparing for, they know when it goes on the ballot.
He's in a state where it is legalized. So, I mean, he can do that. I'm not in a state where it's legalized.
I get that. Do you think he waited until they said, okay, now it's legal?
I mean, I'm sure he's been planning it.
Right.
But I'm saying he's in a situation. All I'm saying is, bro, whoever he is, he's smart.
I got that.
And then if you look at it from the standpoint of somebody came to him and asked him to run the company, which for them probably was a benefit because, okay, he has political ties.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also ran a construction company before he became governor, so he can run a business.
Also, you said he was always an advocate
for it. So it makes sense. Definitely. Then the money is there. Yeah, we see it's going to happen, and we see as things are taking place that eventually you probably going to see, if not half, or maybe I could even venture to say all, the states are going to legalize it at some point. It's been a trend. Once they start, it usually passes on. And it's profitable. And you really don't have no resistance. I mean, the people want it.
Once it is legal here, what I would hope to see are a lot of my people taking advantage mm-hmm. of the opportunity. It will hurt me, literally, to see, nothing wrong with it, but it will hurt me to see a lot of these Indian or Arab-ran businesses start popping up, and they're taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
We got to get in there, too.
And then we see it a lot now with inside our communities, as far as the black community, where they're coming in and taking over our business. And now, I shouldn't even say coming in and taking over. They're coming in and finding opportunities to get in what they need.
Right.
So, I mean, with that, we need to exert the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? In marijuana, like dude said on the previous caller, said, look, we've been doing it for legal all these years anyway. We good at it. We know more about it than the person that's going to come into the game. You got the clientele. Use it to your advantage. It's lucrative. And it's legal.
And you see it. It's not like you're taking a chance. Like this is something that...
It's right in your face. Proven.
Yeah.
I think it was a smart move by the former governor of New Mexico. Once again, it's his choice to advocate for marijuana use and however he chooses to, and we respect that. Moving on to our next topic. U.S. top court to hear pregnant workers appeal against UPS. The United States Supreme Court agreed on Tuesday to hear a case that would determine whether UPS Incorporated treated a pregnant employee, unfairly by denying her request for temporary restrictions on her work duties. A part-time delivery truck driver, she had acted on Ms. Wife's advice that she should not be required to lift parcels weighing more than 20 pounds while she was pregnant. UPS denied the request, saying such restrictions were not required under either the Pregnancy Discrimination Act or the Americans with Disabilities Act. Both a federal district court judge and an appeals court ruled in favor of UPS prior to going to the Supreme Court. What you guys outlook on that? Now she's pregnant.
I'm gonna pass this one.
I'm gonna pass this one out to you.
Well, I'm gonna say this. Is my first initial question to your question is a midwife considered
a doctor
yeah. or someone that could, you know, make a call like that and it be taken under consideration by a job? That's my first question. If she is, then they wrong.
Yeah.
If she isn't, then they have every right to deny that. Unless she decided to go to an actual physician and that physician put her due to her medical condition outside of her pregnancy.
Right.
Outside of her pregnancy. If her medical condition outside of her pregnancy warrants a limitation on her work duties, then they were wrong for that. And they going, well, they have a good possibility to lose.
Losing the Supreme Court. What you think, Pete?
So it comes back to that personal choice for me. I mean, it's a thin line. That's the best answer I can give you. It's a very thin line. How would you feel?
See, this one, for me, morally, I'm going totally different than I would on a business standpoint.
Yeah.
Because it's a pregnant woman, and I'm like, okay, I understand she's pregnant and certain things. She's probably, I wouldn't, if it was my wife, I wouldn't want to do nothing. So I get it. But at the same time, as a business, I understand you came to work. So I said I want my wife doing nothing. So that meant working too. So I can understand if you go to their job, it's certain things that fall under that guideline.
Right.
So morally, I'm saying, no, I think they need to be a little hard. But on a business standpoint, and just looking at it for what it's worth, they have all the right in the world to do that. I mean, even, and it points out that under the Disabilities Act and the Pregnancy Act? I think it is, yeah. The Pregnancy Discrimination Act and Americans with Disabilities Act, it doesn't even fall under. So basically, they can say, I have nothing telling me I can't tell you
what. And you know what tells me that they say that, is that she is not a medical physician, her midwife. She is she might as well be your friend.
Yeah.
That's helping you through your pregnancy.
And they told you that.
They told, hey, I don't think you should lift nothing past over 20 pounds. Well, who are you? If I'm UPS.
And that makes a lot of sense. And I believe they probably know that.
Right.
And probably feel like all you need to do is do a position. I can't go like
yeah.
that. But
exactly.
If you tell me that, I'm going to tell you to work.
Right.
Because I can make you work.
Now, she has every right to not want to visit a physician.
Right.
You want to use a midwife. That is your choice.
But this was,
but because you're making that choice, you're taking this out of your hands. You got nothing to fall back on.
And that's why I need to go to the Supreme Court. Because now you put the morality and the legalization on them to discriminate or find out the separation.
UPS would not go to court if they did not think they could win.
Yeah, and they don't want already. It's going to the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. So she's fighting it all the way.
They ain't worried about it.
Do you think she has a chance to win?
That the fact that they agreed to hear it, yeah. Because usually the Supreme Court turned down so many cases, I mean, in a year. Because they only want to deal with stuff that matters, you know. And then this is that pregnancy, just like abortion. It's almost a women's right. All that is playing into it now.
Yeah, because if she wins, then they have to go back and
change
everything.
Yeah. Everything. So now you got to go back and need them. And you got to write something that kind of goes against or protects still the Disability and the Pregnancy Act, but it falls in so you can be able to have, I guess, a loophole inside those two acts. But that's why I need to go to them. If it's going to be judged on, if you don't stop it at the federal judge.
Yeah.
I think it's a good case, though.
Interesting, very interesting.
It's either going to open the door for change, or it's going to shut the door for anybody after her.
Yeah. I'm totally with you.
So we're addressing this now for the future, one way or the other.
And that's a lot of times whatever the Supreme Court gets.
Yeah.
It sets the tone for years to come, and that's why it's so important who's on the Supreme Court. And that's why you see these presidents trying to hand pick who they want, because they know that's pretty much our Constitution being written. Because the truth of the matter is the Supreme Court probably has more power than the president.
Yeah.
Because they can go back and change something that's already we've been doing for years. If they see the foundation for it to be changed, they change it. And we know for a fact our president can't get bills passed.
But on the flip side of that, it's more than one. Like if it was one judge, then it would be like, whoa.
Right, right.
But that's a lot of judges that gotta agree.
Yeah.
Or a majority.
Yeah, it gotta be a majority. I think it just made something a 5-4. And what we're seeing a lot too is Roberts, Judge Roberts. He's the head of the court, but that's not what he's called. I want to call the right name, the correct name. But you know what I'm saying? He's over the court. He's the superior
justice of the
court.
Supreme Court justice or whatever. And lately, he's been breaking the tie, going the opposite direction than most people think he's going. He did it with the healthcare reform. Mm-hmm. And he, on this recent thing, it was something, I just seen it in the news. It was something like, I don't know if it was abortion or something. It had something to do with women's rights. And he went, more liberal, more in the middle than conservative, because he's actually a Republican. You know what I'm saying? Because President Bush, second Bush, nominated him, and everybody was like, oh man, because dude is young. He's the youngest one, which you wanted to be that way because I think it's the Chief Justice, though.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, and he was named that. So they wanted, because you want his, because once you own her, you own her for life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he wanted to put something there that would be his marking forever, and then he figured dude would follow behind his kind of politics.
But
he fooled me.
That's what's up. But
it's good that he has a mind of his own.
Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to. I thought that was an interesting point, though, but we'll move on to our last topic, and which is always, I'd like to try to end on a good note. Some people may not see this as a good note, but I thought it was, because I seen something in it. And we all three watched this together. Minaj at BET Awards. I was recently near death. Nicki Minaj told the crowd at the BET Awards that she was close to death recently, an experience that has helped her be herself. I quote, and this is what Nicki Minaj said when she was at the award. The other day, literally, I didn't tell anybody this. I really thought I was about to die. Like I was saying, my prayers to die. And I didn't even want to call the ambulance because I thought, well, if I call the ambulance, it's going to be on TMZ. And I would rather sit here and die. And it made me realize I don't care what anybody got to say. I'm going to do me. End quote. What I've seen in that, now the good part in it is the fact that she said she realized she needs to be herself. But what I've seen in it was what she recognized. The fact that she didn't want to die because TMZ was going to find out was more important than dying made her realize, why am I worried about TMZ and what anybody thinks? I thought that was very, very deep. And I thought because of the fact that I didn't even catch it the first time I heard her say it.
I feel like I'm about to die. But I won't call the ambulance because TMZ
is
going to find out.
Right.
I'm about to die.
Right.
What does it matter? Exactly. What does it matter if TMZ
is more important?
Wow.
It had become, and that's when she realized and grabbed hope.
What I hope we can get from this is, especially for the younger people that saw that we look at these celebrities and we think they're perfect. We mm-hmm. think they got everything together. You know what I mean? This lady was near death, but was so insecure
mm-hmm.
that she rather die than it get on the news.
Like it won't get on the news if you die.
If you die, it's going to be all over the news.
But that was what was in her mind.
In her mind. You know what I mean? But we look from the outside and we we assume that they got it together.
Mm-hmm.
These people don't have it together all the time, man.
Also, to add to that, man, you have to realize that there's power in words. It's power. Your opinion affects people. We're talking about TMZ. This is what they get. They get their fame from issuing
dirt. Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
And I know this, but I can't give them that power over me. I can't give them the dirt on me. This is what they do. It's crazy.
It's understanding, right?
But at the end of the day, like you say, she came to a point, like, we go through things for a reason.
Yeah, man.
Now, I'm okay with me.
Right.
I don't care what it, I'm going to be okay to where if TMZ come up, they ain't got nothing to talk about.
Right, exactly.
And if you talk about it, I'm okay with it because I know I did it.
Hey, that's why I wanted to finish the ending note out with that because I thought it was a good point. And I think if we look inside and understand really what her message was, it wasn't so much she was telling you that she was gone, that she had faced death. It was more that she was telling you what had become so important to her that she couldn't even see her own death.
Yeah.
That for me was really like that's going inside yourself. And that's what's up. As young people, as older people, as middle aged people, we can take a little bit of direction from that. And I appreciate that, Nicki Minaj. Keep doing what you're doing. And that pills and potions. Is my new jam. That is my new jam. I just want to put that out there.
One last thing before I know, because we're going to end the note, but I wanted to say this on a serious note. I love Nicki Minaj. It's my baby.
Oh.
My wife know it. I'm sorry,
okay,
baby.
Okay.
I'm sorry I didn't put it out.
Good.
Your wife know it already. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm going to find out tonight. But I love me some Nicki Minaj.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right, there we go.
Dude,
you had to stop the camera.
Is that on a serious note? On a serious note.
Boy,
that's my boy. My boy real. That's what's up, man.
Bone chilling through.
With that, we'll close out the end of the note. I think we have a guest with us online, and I'm going to bring her in. Before we bring her in, I want to introduce her. This is a close friend of all of ours. She's actually a relative of mine, my cousin. Educator by day in the Manatee County School Systems. She's an advocate for what's right. I know that much about her. If there's nothing else I know about my cousin, I know that she's an advocate for what's right, and she would stand on that from the bottom to the top, all the way down to the floor, back up, however you want to do it. That's what she's about. She's about as real as you're going to get, and we welcome her and glad to have her here today. I'm going to bring her in, Katrina, 5-foot giant Ross.
Hey.
Hey, there it is. What's going on, Carl? How you doing today?
I'm blessed. How about yourself?
Just taking it easy on this good Wednesday. We're excited to have you on the show. And as always, you know what I mean. You know I ain't number love when we together. So I let my co-host say a little something to you, then we'll move on into the topic.
Ross. What up, Ross?
Oh, really?
What's going on, fellas?
Chill.
Where we going? Wrong.
There it is. I was waiting on you to say something. Okay.
I'm ready to get started. What we doing? Where we going?
We're starting off. Today's show title is LGBT. It's a choice.
Sure.
LGBT, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual. It's a transgender.
Transgender.
It's a movement that has pretty much blown up. Lately, we see it becoming very relevant in today's life, and politics is not outside of just everyday life. It's becoming a mainstream thing. And with that, we thought it would be a good topic to talk to reflect on. And our first up topic on it is the worldly impact of it. Ross, if you want to, you know, chime in when you get ready. But we'll go ahead and start this thing off. Y'all ready to go?
Let's go.
All right. Well, the worldly impact. What do you see the worldly impact as?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who participate in a lifestyle that they find intriguing and that they're not necessarily drawn to for other reasons.
Hmm. That's a good point, Ross. So what I'm basically hearing you say is the movement is one thing, but the lifestyle more is just because you want to, you're curious.
A lot of times it is. It's almost like for the people who actually struggle with the feelings of having same-sex attraction, it's completely different from a person who is just curious about their attraction to someone of the same sex. It's not the same thing.
Mm.
And I feel like the movement that's going on, the foundation of it lies with the people who have cried at night, possibly tried to kill themselves, did everything that they could to fit in and avoid those feelings, but finally when they were real with themselves, they accepted who they were.
Go ahead, T.
I don't know. I don't know what a... Okay. You said it's a movement, and that was a correct word. Movement. I thought about, like, I hear people comparing this or saying that it's the new civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At first, I disagreed, but that was ignorance. It is. When a person doesn't have a choice, when they don't have a personal choice, that goes against what civil rights is about.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't it?
Yeah, it's civil rights, yeah.
When state has so much of an influence on a person's personal choice, it has to be a civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't speak personally about the emotional side of it because, you know, I just can't. But speaking about people and having the right to choose, I don't care what the choice is. I don't care what is up to be chosen. We all should have a choice.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Now, I plan on feeding all fitness conversations, so I'm going to pass it off for a minute until I...
Well, for me, it comes down to treating people right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we preach love a lot of times on this show, and that's what it comes down to. Everyone has that right to be treated with respect, to be treated equally. And when it comes to a point where, like you said, my personal choice influences how you treat me or treat or respect me, even, then I have an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point on it. But something you said, Ross, intrigued me. You said something that are curious. So I pose this question to you. Do you think it's an influx of people joining the movement simply because it's popular?
Well, I think that a lot of people feel like everyone deserves to be themselves. And even if they don't necessarily connect with the person on the level of the issue, they still feel like that person should be able to live their life according to how they want to. Because, let's just be real. Everyone who is identified as anything other than heterosexual is not necessarily in it for the exact same reasons. Some people like the attention that it brings, and we see that all the time. But again, going back to people like such as myself that's had a personal struggle with it, not just because of what other people think, but because of my religion, family influence, upbringing, things of that nature, the movement means something completely different.
Yeah, and you know what, I appreciate the fact that you personalize that too, because that's always a good thing. So we understand that you have an embedded interest in the conversation, which is very, very good, and that's good for the listeners. I do want to point out this, though, and it's not to avert anything from what anyone's saying. I get totally what Rob was saying about the curiousness, and I understand where you were going with it, bro, because a lot of times if it's okay and it's popular, I jump on and don't realize it ain't really for me. You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
yep.
if I can find a way to fit in, or I'm cool now. It doesn't even matter. It goes back to the Nicki Minaj thing, too, a little bit. I'm so concerned about what you think. I do whatever it takes to fit in that I don't even get the fact that I may be harming the movement.
Right.
Now, are you speaking when you say join in? Are you talking about joining in on the movement, or are you talking about joining in as far as me partaking in the activity?
I'm leaning more towards partaking in the activity, but it can go both ways as far as just people catching up. Intentions sometimes on the outwardly, you may see something that's from a person's intentions that you read totally different from what they really alternative motive is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
mm-hmm.
the popularity catches up. But I do believe, though, and I hate to go here, but I'm going to have to. I do believe a lot of times we do have people trying out that lifestyle, as in a personal standpoint, just to fit in, and because it's, quote-unquote, the own thing right now.
See,
mm-hmm.
the only reason I disagree with you is because, now I could be ignorant again, and it's okay. But I disagree that people, majority,
mm-hmm.
would join in just because it's popular or just to see what it's about. Like, let's change it from LGBT to a thing of race.
Mm-hmm.
Black people were oppressed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see a white person saying, I want to be black just to see what it's like?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy to me.
You just told me a dude opened the door for you and said, what am I in? Then because he wants to relate. He wants to be black. Why else would you say that to another black person? Because you've seen black people do it to each other.
Because I can be myself and do it. Now, if I had to lose myself, now if somebody gave me the opportunity to change
so you
my skin color,
so
I'm talking about the dude now. I'm going back to the dude. It's okay for him to be white and do what black people do. But now if I say, now we're going to make you black, do you still want to do what black people do?
So you think the change as far as, if I wanted to do change my whole lifestyle as far as to being a heterosexual and wanted to try homosexuality, could I come back and be a heterosexual?
Exactly.
I'm asking you, could I though?
No.
Mm-mm. But you said on the other hand, I understand, I get it, because I get it. But on the other hand, you're saying as far as the Caucasian gentleman who said that to you, he can say that to you and go back, and
he's
still Caucasian.
He's never left where he was.
Right, I get it.
I disagree with you on that, because I
see
doubt. Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, I'm sorry. He never left, like, in a physical state, but in his mind, he might see himself more identifying with the black culture. And if given a choice, he might just say, you know what, I make me black.
Yeah.
That's a hard one for me. I mean, he may.
I can
That's a hard
it.
One for me to, like, really? Now, if we accept you doing, quote, unquote, what black people do and be white, that's the best of both worlds.
Well, maybe he might not identify with being white at all.
Maybe he doesn't. Maybe. We can't say.
You say he may have been comfortable saying that to you because that he's being himself. He's comfortable with himself, so he could say he felt comfortable saying that to you.
Right.
I disagree in this sense that someone made him comfortable. Somebody made him comfortable because he didn't grow up in a household with his mom and daddy
saying
the N-word.
Well, we don't know that.
Not in the terms that he probably said. Then you could be right.
We don't know that.
We never know.
I mean, because sometimes we rebel against what we've, like if they tell you all this time, don't do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, as soon as I get to a point where I can experience it, I'm going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right.
So that's why I say we don't know that, but at the end of the day, it's all speculation.
Yeah.
All we know is it was a Caucasian man who felt comfortable enough with himself and with me to address me as what am I inward.
Right. Right.
Until we let that be known that, no, this is not what we do.
And then I know I took it off.
We went off topic a little bit,
but I think it was relevant to point out the point. But I do see what you're saying. So you're saying more than anything, you don't think people would just buy in and try a different lifestyle just to fit in?
You know why? Because it costs too much. You know what I mean? Like the fight that you go against, the fight that you get for announcing that I'm lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If this is not really who you are, you can't stand up against that. You don't want to go against that. You don't want to. You don't want the lash that's gonna come from announcing it.
But wouldn't that be easier if I didn't? If I didn't know who I was, why would I care what you think? For the person that is and really has those feelings or may relate to that, it's more difficult for them because now they have to go against everything else. Wouldn't you say?
I don't know. I think
because if I'm just playing with it, I don't care what happens. But if it's for real and it affects my life,
that's what makes you go back to being who you really are. If I don't really care, and now everybody's turning on me because I made this decision, and
mm-hmm.
this decision don't mean that much to me,
mm-hmm.
no, I'm going back to what I was. I'm going back to where I get the love back.
Right, but that doesn't change the fact that in the beginning they jumped on the bandwagon.
Right, because you didn't think you were going to get what you got.
Right, I get it. I totally get what you're saying. Just saying, like, you know, I think a lot of times, not everybody, because this is a big movement, but I think in any movement, just like we've seen in the civil rights, we wasn't necessarily there in 64, but we did see a lot of outside entities that you wouldn't have thought would have got involved in it that took hold to it because it was popular. And it became to a point where if you stand against it, you knew you was wrong. Same thing with the LGBT movement. At this point, we understand we should allow everybody to love and be themselves. We can't say the movement is wrong. That's why you said it's a civil rights movement.
Yeah. I mean,
Ross, would you agree with that? Would you agree with that is similar to a civil rights movement?
I would, because what both movements boil down to is the fact that you want the same equality that the next person has. Neither one of them asks for anything outside of what the person next to them has. They ask for the same respect and the same consideration that everybody in the world is entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
Makes total sense. Makes total sense. I think we all in agreement on it. But when you say the world of impact, we see it's a on a social stance, we see the movement. What about on the political side?
Again, I go back to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I go back to when state has that much influence on personal choice, it's a problem. I don't care what the conflict is. Insurance, I feel like that's a problem. Why do you have so much of a stake in my personal choice? I just don't agree. I probably will never agree with state being state to the point where you change or you have so much of an influence on me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you governing the whole. But, and now we see, we used to see it on the negative. Now we have a president who's fighting for the rights.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the backlash that he's getting, which some of that is just whatever he go with, people going to go against anyway.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see the amount of, what am I trying to say? The amount of resistance that he's getting on this subject. I was surprised. Like, why? These are people's rights.
Yeah.
This is people's choice to be who they are. What does that have to do with anything?
And they always, and then they fall back on, and we're not going to it yet, but they always fall back on, there's no state and religion separate.
No.
But how is it not? Because you're basing off your religious
belief. That's the only reason why it's an issue in the beginning, because that's been demonized.
Yeah.
The whole LGBT thing is, if you remove religion and the spiritual impact from it, what's wrong?
It's a right.
What's wrong with it?
It's your choice. Why am I going against your choice? Ross, you had something to chime in on. Go ahead.
Well, just even, like, listening to what was just said, it's like that's what people really don't understand. They don't get it. And most of the people who don't understand and don't get it, it's not necessarily because they don't want to. It's that it's a tough concept to grasp. How can someone want to live a lifestyle that is contradictory to everything that people are told is right? How can someone want to live a lifestyle that is totally frowned upon by the majority of the world. And then again, when the fact about religion was brought up, that's where a lot of people get lost at. They don't understand that the same religion that they were taught, it's possible that the person who's having these same feelings have been taught that same religion. And that's where their struggle comes in. So for someone to speak religion about it and to speak, you know, right and wrong about it, that have no idea and have not battled with the thoughts that that person has, there's no way that they can understand or grasp the concept that a person wants to be allowed to live the life that they feel. And it's not necessarily a choice. Some people do choose to live that lifestyle, but people do not choose to be LGBT. That's not a choice that people make. People choose that lifestyle. And even with the person who, quote unquote, was born that way, they still have to choose to live that lifestyle. But who's to say that a person who's heterosexual should not be given the right to choose to love who they want to love? So why is it an issue when a person who is not a heterosexual wants that same thing?
You know what? That's a good point, Ross. And it brings me to something, too. And I struggle with this myself because I feel like I don't necessarily believe we choose to be heterosexual or homosexual. I think it's somewhat, it's almost intrinsic. What you like is what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You got the, some people like mayonnaise. I don't like mayonnaise. You know what I'm saying?
It's
a choice.
That's a
it becomes a choice, but the truth of the matter is intrinsically, I just can't, that's not where I'm at. So I choose not to eat it. So we're all saying the truth, but like it's not something that I just came up one day and said, I'm just not going to eat it. I just never liked it. It's just something that turns me away from it.
I got you. Which I wanted to ask that question specifically to you, Ross, like, and you probably answered it. Well, my question was going to be, do you think that people are born with that desire, with that choice, I guess? No, I don't want to say choice. Is that something you're born with, or is that something that you come to terms with?
My personal belief is that people are born with those feelings. And the reason I say that is it's just like what Derek was saying about the mayonnaise. Some people just don't like mayonnaise. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it. And but that's an easier choice to make than someone who you want to have a relationship with or get to know on a level that's deeper than just a friendship. So for it's a million people plus that say, you know, people are not born this way, it's a choice, this, that, and the other. I challenge those same people that have that thought to sit down with a person who is 6 years old, that is a male, that wants to play with dolls, that wants to wear dresses, that wants to do hair and makeup, simply because that's what they like. They weren't given an option to do that because all three of you fellas know when you came up, you played with trucks, you played with football, you played with anything sports-like, things that are considered masculine. But what do you tell a person who is not interested in that, that that doesn't appeal to them? Do you tell them they're wrong? Do you tell a six-year-old boy, hey, you know what, you can't play with the doll because boys don't do that? Yes, you would, because everybody wants to have that certain sense of belonging and that certain sense of this is what I'm supposed to do. But what happens when you don't have that?
Good question. And I'm going to throw it to you, T.
Why would you do that?
I'm going to throw it to you because I understand what Ross I get totally where she's coming from because that's why I related back to mayonnaise because that's the only thing I can come up with. But there's certain things I just don't want. And I can see people having that understanding in themselves. And I'm not going to – you can't tell me to eat mayonnaise.
But see, this is – you slow down a minute. This is a little different
mm-hmm.
to me simply because when I see, and I get the question that you're asking, but I want to know why. You know what I mean? What is it that turns you off about, or what is it that interests you as a six-year-old boy in dolls and makeup? What about that interests you?
Mm-hmm.
In that answer, I might find out that it was not, and it may not be necessarily the makeup. It was the way you made them look, or it was the time that he saw somebody spend with each other putting it on. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there because I can't imagine what answer you would get. But in asking why, it's possible that you could find out that it was never about he wanted to wear makeup. The makeup was just a vice to what he really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to find out what that thing is. Now, if that thing is, well, I want to look like a girl, then I guess I'm going to keep asking why. Okay, why you want to look like a girl? Eventually, I guess you get to a point where you get the answer. It's either it's this or it's that. But just accepting the fact that, okay, I've seen with my own two eyes from experience a person who was brought up by a woman,
mm-hmm.
no man around, and that's what he spent his time with, a woman. Saw her putting on clothes and saw her putting on makeup and saw her doing her hair and saw her doing all this from the day he got here. So I understood why you would think that was natural because that's all you've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the situation. Do I think that people are born innately with that desire? Me personally, I would lean towards no, but I can't explain to you why I say no. Does that make sense? Like, there's nothing in me that says definitely no, and this is why. I just lean towards
it. Yeah, that's probably more because, and we talk about this all the time, because you relate with leaning towards no, because you don't feel the opposite way. So it's easier for you to relate to what you know.
Right.
But the fact that you pretty much put in your mind that you can't answer it, need somewhere in you.
I'm open to the possibility
right, right.
that it could be.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I can't answer that question.
Let me say this real quick.
Go ahead, bro.
With the same thing that you just said, the same scenario you just said, the boy that's grown up just strictly in all females, you know, surroundings, mother, watching her do what she does, this, that, and the other. That goes to the nature versus nurture thing, okay? That goes to, okay, I see this, so this is norm, and this is behaviors that I pick up. But when it boils down to it, does that same boy, when he becomes a man, is the choice to sleep with another man? Because that same boy, even though he could live a homosexual lifestyle, there's just the equal amount of chance that he will live a heterosexual lifestyle. And that's based upon the fact that his nurture was a feminine environment. But his nature is ultimately going to speak with who he's attracted to when it boils down to sexually. Just because you are that six-year-old boy that grew up playing with dolls and, you know, makeup, high heels, whatever, seeing your mom, you know, take on that feminine role, that does not mean that when you turn 16, 21, that you're ultimately going to want to be with a man. It just might be that, hey, when he was six, he learned how to better treat his woman.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a very good point.
Not to take us off where we're going, but I have a tricky question, so bear mm-hmm. with me. I'm trying to, I don't want too much backlash on this. But,
like you're talking to me.
Right. You're right. I'm not talking.
yeah.
What I want to first, I want to make a statement, and this is where I might get myself in trouble. The bisexual of LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The L made a decision.
Mm-hmm.
The gay made a
mm-hmm.
decision.
Mm-hmm.
The T made a decision.
Made a hell of a decision.
Made it a very life altering decision. Okay.
Yeah.
Bisexual.
They
teeter-tottering to me.
Confusion.
That's what I see it at, you know, confusion. So when I think about the LGBT movement and I think about these people who have made a decision one way or the other,
mm-hmm,
and are fighting for their rights, I waver a little bit on the beat, on the bisexual.
Because you need both sides.
To me, they're a little greedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even see, and that's the tough word for me. I think that's greedy. You know, you having the best of both worlds, pretty much.
I make the point, though.
I'm gonna say this.
So wait.
Go ahead.
I got a question for Ross. Help me. and I'm being serious. Help me understand how bisexual people are a part of this movement.
Well, let me personalize. I have been with both males and females. I don't particularly care for penis. But that would not stop me from opening myself up to being in a committed long-term life, you know, situation with a male. What that would force me to do is to open my mind up to the difference. Now, the greedy part I understand, because I know people who simply participate in both male and female interaction in that way because it pleases their flesh. But to a person whose mindset is different, to a person who it's just not about who they sleep with, that's not going to be the case. They're going to make the right decision based upon what's right for them and their emotions and how they feel. Because, you know, there of course there are those people who, quote-unquote, want the best of both. And even though they do, and I might not even agree with that, it's still their right.
Right.
You know, and
wait,
if that's...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if it's their choice to do such, then who am I or the next person to tell them, you know what, you shouldn't be able to. You know, their vested interests might not be the same as mine or a person who is gay or is transgender, but they still have that right. And that's something that, you know, each one of us, you know, gay, straight, or otherwise, has to come to terms with.
Because
if you ask anyone who has had a same-sex interaction on whatever level it was outside of a friendship, that person has to be honest with themselves about why they chose to partake in that, whether it's because that's how they genuinely feel or because they're genuinely curious about what it is that has everybody else in such an uproar.
Appreciate that, Ralph. I needed that. Thank you.
Yep.
My question would be, and it's probably a personal thing, probably a personal choice decision, but is this more of an emotional need or a physical attraction, or is it a mix?
It's a mix.
Is it because
No, I'm just saying it's a mix.
It's a mix.
Yeah, it's a mix. It's because that's just like you fellas are in relationships. So what you think about it, think about it like this. What is it that attracted you to your mate? Was it the fact that she was a woman or that you found characteristics in her that attracted you? Because there have been plenty of women who might have caught your eye, but why is it that you're not with that woman? Same thing on the spectrum with the person who would be in a same-sex relationship. There are things about people that catch your eye. And it's not necessarily that you fall in love with a man because he simply is a man. It's because he caught your eye and the things that he brings to the table is what attracts you. Now, if a man came to you with the same characteristics that your ladies have, that's not going to do anything for you.
Okay, you know what? I think in listening to your answer, I think I came to the conclusion that it has to be a physical thing. Because in sitting down talking to another man, like, about life and about issues, we agree, we just become good friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I can talk to you because you understand me, I understand you. It ain't nothing else coming out of that conversation other than I can talk to you again.
Mm-hmm. I see where you're going, but I think what changes that whole dynamic is and it's like Trina pointed out earlier, the nature.
Yeah,
if
that's
it's
what
in
I'm
your
saying.
Nature to have different feelings than a heterosexual,
yeah.
which may go to more side of the homosexual, if I sit down and have a good conversation with you as a heterosexual, to you it's a good conversation. To me, from my nature and my understanding, it's more than a good conversation. It's somebody I can be with.
Mm-hmm. I get it, what you're saying. So what this conversation forces me to believe is that this thing is not. This is embedded in you.
Yeah.
This is just
yeah.
not something you choose
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
That's what
I mean,
from the conversation thus far.
So let me pose this question. I want to pose this question. Now, you are three heterosexual men. Have you ever found a man to be attractive? One.
No.
Second part of that is, if you have found a man to be attractive, that didn't force you to be like, I need to sleep with him, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen. Because Gordon's shaking his head. I know nobody can see this. Gordon's shaking his head. But listen, you can say a dude clean, fancy dress nice.
I can say
right.
that.
Right.
So if she's saying to you, in saying that, does that mean you're attracted to him?
No, he's just dressed nice.
Right, and I think
exactly.
But I'm not saying he's attractive. I'm not saying, I can't look at a dude and see cute. I can't see that.
Well, see, you call what we may see as clean, in some stance, from a woman's
I'm
standpoint.
I'm talking about your pants, your shirt, your shoes, you clean. That's what I'm talking about. When I say clean, that's what I'm talking about.
I get it, man. I get the ball over and die. But you get the brim of the way we're going with
it. I don't. Explain it. I'm just not being silly right now.
But the truth is, I think what Ross point more than thing is, and clear it up for me, Ross, if I'm wrong. But she's saying if you can find qualities in a person at some point in time that you find admirable. You find admirable. That doesn't mean you're attracted to him, right?
Right.
Yeah, I said that.
What's wrong? They passing it out.
I already answered it.
No, that don't mean that you find them attractive.
Right.
That just mean you. I don't like you said. You like his clothes.
Yeah.
Wait. Let's back up for a minute. Just so I understand. So you said to me that you can see a dude, and you can say, and not saying that you're gay because you say it. I'm not going that route. I'm just saying you can say. He look good.
I can't say that, but like,
or he's handsome.
I can say he's clean. That's what I can say.
Okay. So can you say
outwardly?
Inwardly at all, period.
In fact, and this is me being totally honest. The truth of the matter is because of the stigma, that's why we keep saying clean instead of the other thing.
That's why I said handsome, or you can look at him and say he's handsome.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with saying another man looks handsome. If he's dressed nice and he's presenting handsome to me, I want you to say that about me. Now,
no,
outwardly, I know you're not going to
say that about
me. Outwardly, you won't. But inwardly, you are.
No, I will not.
If you're saying I'm clean.
I say your shirt, your pants, your suit, but you're clean. That's what I'm talking about. I can't.
But see, now you put one handsome, now you bring an attraction in. Because just because I say you handsome doesn't mean I'm attracted to you. I need to say I'm attracted to you for it to be attracted.
Listen to what I'm
basically.
Saying.
That's where I did.
When you hear me say to you, "Boy, you clean," because I say it a lot.
Right.
When I say to you, "You clean," I'm talking about your shirt,
I know
your
that.
Pants, your shoes, you clean.
I know that, and I'm saying that's cool. But if we really take it to the point where we look at it for what it's worth, we are saying something about that is admirable, which could be equate to attractive. It attracts your attention.
Yep.
That doesn't mean you like me. That doesn't mean you want to be with me.
It ain't about you. It's about what you got on. It ain't about you.
But I'm personifying what I have on.
Because
you could see the same outfit on somebody else and tell them they look a mess.
Right.
No.
That's true now. You know that's true.
I don't know.
You didn't
want to
go that far.
No, I'm saying, like, I'm trying to put this. Anyway, we off topic.
We're not really.
I think it's coming across as though, and I know what homophobic is, and I'm not.
Right.
There was a point in time when I was. But in these conversations where we talk about God and love and understanding people and all this and all that, I question myself, like, why? These are people. Why? What does it have to do with you? If they ain't bothering you, you ain't bothering them. What does it matter? Mm-hmm. So I'm over that part. What I'm saying to you is, when I look at you or any man that walk by, or whatever, I'm looking at outward appearance from what you have on,
right.
This, that, and that.
Right.
I might even look at the way your beard line up, because I got a beard.
Right.
That's
right.
Crazy. I'll do that. I wouldn't do that. But it doesn't.
Because the nature's not there. And that's where it comes
from. That's why I asked you, can you? Can you say?
Yeah. That's why I told you, yeah, I said. Because my nature, I got a why.
I ain't going there, man.
But this is what I'm trying to explain, though. I'm okay with there. That I can say you look handsome and no, it don't mean nothing else. Whatever somebody else takes from it, that's fine. I know I'm not attracted to you, and you know that.
Okay, I'm going to make this. Let's say, now I know you, before you got married, you weren't attracted to healthy girls.
Right.
You're not attracted to something over a certain.
Right. No, wait, hold on. Now, my wife is nice. Don't be putting my wife out there like that.
What are you talking about?
Because you said before I got married.
So they could be taken.
Yeah. I got to clean up, because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but I had to clean it up, because I don't want to get in trouble.
If I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it.
I know that, but you know what I'm saying. I got to clean it up.
She should know that. So what I'm saying is this.
Bones just laughed.
If 400 pounds walk by you, nothing against it. I'm just saying this is a question to you personally, because I know that's not what you're attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at her to see if she's attractive?
No.
Does that thought even cross your mind whether she's attractive? No,
right?
No. Because
it's not what I like.
That's
so
what
I'm
saying.
Yeah.
It never enters my mind whether that person is handsome or this, that, or that. I'm not even looking like that.
But
what catches my eye is a loud color shoes or some clean shoes.
If Jill Scott walked by me.
And she's not. Wait.
But yeah. That's my preference. This is my preference.
Okay, that's your preference.
Jill Scott, Queen Latifah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Monique.
Hey.
And this goes on and on.
Now, what do you say?
If they walk by me, I have to acknowledge their attraction.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, once you get past once you cross a certain line.
Cute is cute, though, dog. I'm going to be honest with you. You can be 600 pounds. If your face cute, I'm going to say you cute.
Okay. Now we off.
Yeah, we off. Sorry.
Break us back. Hey, bro. Break us back, bro. Break us back.
She laughs.
No, I understand. It's just that, I mean, attraction doesn't necessarily mean want to be with. It could just be somebody that look nice. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you've seen some people who look nice, but that ain't make you want to be like, all right, let's go get married. Because it goes deeper than just the attraction. You know, everything that look nice ain't necessarily nice.
True.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
For a heterosexual male, it's hard. Well, for a heterosexual person, period, it's hard to understand how someone can look at someone of the same sex and be like, you know, have the same feelings that they have towards someone of the opposite sex. You know, that doesn't make it right or wrong. You know, how you personally feel and what you're personally attracted to, that's what you're attracted to. Doesn't matter. You know, because, I mean, I find Michael Ealy to be handsome out of this world. Do I want a long-term relationship with him? No.
clear eyes. Think like a man.
Okay.
Think like a man.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out who you were talking about. But I get what you're saying. I get that point.
So it's just, I mean.
It's description.
Who?
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be a description. I might have.
Oh, you know, little light skin with the pretty eyes. Yes.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
pretty eyes, like I'm supposed to know who that is, but okay.
The man already told you he don't look at nothing.
He clean.
And it's not. See, y'all making a joke out of it. I was trying to be honest with y'all at this point in time. It's just not something that happens. It's not.
No, we get it. I understand totally. Because and we almost forced as heterosexual males to think a certain way, and it's an ego thing, and it's a macho thing. It all comes down to that ain't what you do.
I'm going to put it to you like this. I was sitting with a female. We were watching a movie. It was one of Morris Chestnut's movies.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me point blank, do you think he's cute?
Mm-hmm.
My answer was, and I took like 3 minutes. I'm like, how do I answer this? I was like, I can see why y'all find him attractive.
Right.
But I can't say he's cute.
Right.
And I'm not saying I can't say it because it's wrong to say it. I can't say it because I can't say it.
Right. It's something
right. I don't look at him like
nature.
That.
That's the nature. That come back.
I can see why you say he's attractive. That's the best answer I can give you.
See, for me,
right.
what this tells me is that because we're sitting here and we're struggling
mm-hmm.
with this, for me, it cements the courage it takes a person
absolutely.
To, one, be true to themselves
mm-hmm.
and accept whatever backlash that comes from that.
And that's the point I was trying to make with those who are just going with the fad. You can't stay with it. It's too much.
You
can't do this and not really genuinely be there. Because if you... It's going to push you away. Like, people going to find out you ain't really about that because I don't want this. I don't want everybody talking about me. Can't go nowhere. I'm tired of this.
Well, and it comes down to if we take any amount of broader sweep, and I don't be by what I'm by just because you see me doing. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what it takes for me to really give my all to this. So you disrespecting what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And I feel like that. And listen. I'm totally behind the LGBT movement because I'm behind anything that's for somebody's rights. If it's your civil right, you deserve it. That's up to you. That's how it goes. And that's a personal thing. I agree with you, Steve, on that. But at the end of the day, if these people really believe this and this is their whole heart, don't get in this same plan. Don't play with this.
But then at the same time, again, how can you tell somebody what they can choose and what they can't?
You can't.
That's why I can't go that route, but I just say I can understand why you can't stay in it. If
right.
you try to get in this and you're really not with this, you ain't gonna stay.
You'll find
what you need. You'll find out this ain't what you want.
Well, Ross,
sorry,
Ross, you got anything else on the worldly impact? I would like to move into the spiritual.
Yes, please.
Impact.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody agrees, but I want to give Ross a last opportunity to speak on the worldly impact before we move on.
No, I just think it's a lot of misunderstandings, and I think the way it parallels the civil rights movement for African Americans is the fact that even today there's still misunderstandings about African Americans. So often stereotypes are put in place to hinder the growth of a movement, and even though we've come and gone past, quote-unquote, the civil rights movement still goes on to this day. Because we're still fighting for equality, regardless of what the laws say. You know, there are still ways to get around what the laws say. So in the same instance that I say that, when it comes to the LGBT movement, it's going to be the same way. Because there are always going to be people who don't agree with it based on whatever it is, whether it is a worldly view or a religious view. So there'll still be a struggle. Because just like, I mean, I, and everybody else knows that African-American, the things that were going on in the 60s, they're just hidden better today than they were in the 60s. But they're still prevalent in today's times. So I think it'll be the same way with the LGBT movement, but that can't stop people from fighting for what they believe in and fighting for what they deserve.
It's a great point.
Great point. Great way to end that. Yeah.
But before we do, let me throw this out there, because as I'm listening to a talk, I feel like this. For black people, all of y'all, us, we, I feel like we should be the last people to lash out at anything. Simply because how can you, after going through, or maybe it's because we didn't go through and we don't understand what people went through before us, but as people going through what you went through, turn around and become the quote-unquote oppressor, that's the definition of hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what? I just feel like, I don't care what it is, LGBT, it could be AIDS, it could be whatever. If you're going to lash out at anybody or you're going to discriminate against anyone, you probably should check yourself. Just me, you move on to this whole spiritual thing, because I think everybody ain't going to get to that.
Yeah, well, we move on into the next topic, but before we do that, I want to throw this out there. 718-664-9983. If you have any input, you want to call in, just listen, or chime in on the conversation. That's the number, 718-664-9983. Give us a call. We'll move on into the spiritual impact on the LGBT movement. For me, spiritually, from my understanding,
mm-hmm.
it's condemned
mm-hmm.
to be with another sex. That's from my understanding. So do we look at it then from that impact and say, okay, why are we even approaching this? Because there's no room for it. Or do we look at it and understand, if we have a spiritual understanding of God and he leads us in a certain way, and we still believe from previous conversation that this is nature, is this not God putting this in me to go this way?
Well, me myself, keep it short. I think what happened, but I'm going to try. When I saw we were talking about the spiritual impact, I wanted to go with, okay, well, the whole birth thing. If it's something that's given to you at birth or mm-hmm. it's your choice, that don't even matter. We're talking about people. And if we're talking about spirituality, we're talking about God. God says love, period. He didn't put a stipulation on it. He didn't put a condition on it. He said love. So, religion, as we like to call it, as we like to talk about, is the problem when it comes with the LGBT thing
mm-hmm.
and how people are taken in church, out of church. When you put it in a spiritual context, it's all about religion. Religion is what creates the problem. Religion is what creates the problem in a worldly impact.
Mm-hmm.
Religion is what creates the problem all the way around. Because if God is about love, it matters not what you do. It matters not who you are. Simple fact, the person, I should love. And in loving, I can't condemn you. I'm going to leave it right there for a minute because I'm going to come back and pass it on.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, first off. But I understand the difficulty of religion when their textbook tells them that this is wrong.
How? Where?
It ain't in there.
I'm asking you.
I ain't never read it.
Oh, well, then again, how you say it's in there?
Because the church is preaching on it.
No, that's religion. You said the textbook.
So it ain't in there nowhere?
I ain't never seen it.
Well, I know I ain't never seen it. I ain't never read it.
I went looking for it.
Okay.
And I think me and you had this conversation before, T, and I was like, I don't see defiantly where it says that. Now, I did say something about the same sex or something. Remember when you went over that at the time?
Probably. I remember
it
having a conversation.
It said, like, it named off, it's a scripture in the Bible where it names off, you should not be a whoremonger, and it went on some other names. And somewhere in it, it was an interpretation that you can make
right.
that went to homosexuality. I think it said of the same sex, or that's not be with those the same sex. I'm quoting, so don't you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not paraphrasing. I'm not quoting at all because I don't know exactly. But it does come back to religion.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Bone. Because you didn't finish your point.
What I was saying was, it kind of defeats what I was saying if it's not in there. But I hear, you know, churches and religious leaders, you know, I even say, preach against it. So I just assumed there was a scripture that they could go to, and it specifically said that.
I'm of the opinion if it was a specific scripture that said it's wrong, it would be all over everywhere. You would know where it was at. You would have a good idea of what the scripture said, even if you can't tell where it's at, because it would be preached nationally.
But it is preached nationally. I mean, I understand what you're saying. The scripture will be quoted.
Right. There you go.
More so.
We get the interpretations of what a scripture means, and you want to put it on that because it takes it off you. But let's talk for real for a second. I do know that there are scriptures in there about fornication. I do know that there are scriptures in there about adultery. I do know that there are scriptures in there about a defiled bed and all of that. Why don't we put so much from religious or spiritual people? Why won't we put so much emphasis on that? Now, adultery, people tell you, has to happen while you're married. No, it's not the case. So if you read and you get an understanding, I'm going to even go back a little further. The first couple we saw was who? Adam and Eve. Was there a ceremony in their marriage? Was there any preacher that stood and said, okay, now y'all married? No, but their marriage was upheld simply because of that's what consummation is all about. You become an adulterer when you sleep with somebody and turn around and sleep with somebody. As I read and as I understand the Bible and marriage and all of that, it ain't about no ceremony. Yeah, in man's world, we got to stand in front of these people. We got to go get this paper. We got to do it. That's man's world. But how did people become married back then? Now, I know we're supposed to be talking about LGBT, but I want to talk to the religious people who condemn LGBT.
And that's where I was going with it. You know, man has influenced it. Man has said it's wrong. Man has put their opinion, basically. They put their opinion in it. And they have deemed it sinful and all that kind of stuff like that. That's not God, like you said. That's not God. God is love, man. God don't care about that.
I'm of the simple opinion this, and Ross, I'm going to give it to you after this. If God is love, he gives us the ability to love other human beings. What we should then do is respect the fact that you love. Who you love ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not in a place to condemn you. I'm not God. Nobody that walks this earth is God, preachers included. You don't have the power to condemn anybody for anything. You mislead people. And that's where your intentions may be good, but it might turn around that whole saying about the blood on your hands thing. You might want to take a look at that. Because when you start misleading people according to your interpretation and your personal belief, it's coming back.
Right.
I'm going to back off again.
We're passing off to you now, Ross. What's your insight on this?
Religion is a tricky subject when it comes to homosexuality, and I say that because people seem to hold that sin higher than most sins, when it shouldn't be. A sin is a sin. In Leviticus, it speaks about how we're not supposed to eat swine, but I love me some bacon. It speaks about how we are not supposed to fornicate. But I've never been married, but I have had sex. It speaks, the Bible itself speaks upon many things that we are not supposed to do. And where I find fault with religious people, religious beings, is the fact that why is that sin chosen above all other sins? We're not supposed to judge. Yet and still, people will state their opinion and not see judgment in it. Regardless of whether what we think or what we believe, if it is an opinion, there's still some judgment there somewhere woven into it. We're not supposed to eat certain things. We're not supposed to wear certain blends of cloth. We're not supposed to do certain things. All of it is sin. But why is homosexuality put on a pedestal to be a sin above other sins? It mentions in the Bible about thou shalt not sleep with a man or lay with a man the way you would a woman. But in that same breath, I can also tell you that it says that about pork in the Bible. It says that about certain fish in the Bible, that you're not supposed to eat them or, you know, even touch them to a certain extent. So why is it that this quote-unquote phenomenon known as homosexuality is put above all other sins, or that people will put that above all other sins? It's not right for me to go and lay with a man and I'm not married to him. And, you know, speaking in with the Bible, it's not right for me to do that. And then also in the Bible, it's not right for me to lay with a woman in that same way. So what makes me laying with a man in that way, or what makes me lay with a woman in that way, any different? I don't see it as being any different. If it's a sin, it's a sin. And what it all boils down to is none of the billions of people on earth will stand before God for me. I have to stand before God for myself. And if I am going to be condemned to hell because of that, that's between me and God. That has nothing to do with Sam, Terry, John, Beth, anybody else. That's between me and God.
That's a great point, bro. That's a great point. And you know what? I believe it's so hard for the other side to understand that sin is not greater than any other sin. It's because they're doing the other sin. They're not relating to that sin in the numbers, the masses are on the other side. So let's point out why you different from me, which happens a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to point your faults out before I point mine
out. Right, right. Because like Ross pointed out, you point off several things that's in the Bible that we all commit on a daily.
Well, I'm going to go a step further and say, now first off, I'm going to say, I'm going to look for this scripture. Are you saying that? Because
I found.
Okay, good. Because I've never seen it. That's why I said it ain't in it.
I found in, this is in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And Timothy is also a verse in Timothy. But Paul said, Or do you not, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is in 1 Corinthians 6 through the 19th. I mean 6 verse 9 through the 12. Six chapters, 9 through 10 verse. I'm sorry. And to get it out.
I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to read it. But at the end of the day, going back to why we see sin the way we do, I don't think it's so much I'm more likely to pick out yours more than mine. I'm just going to pick out the one that I don't do.
Right.
One that I'm less susceptible to is the one that I'm going to make the biggest one.
Right, exactly.
Murder.
Because I ain't got to look at mine.
You look
because
at
I named off swindlers, thieves, all that's in there. But the only one that's really broadcast is homosexuals.
But at the end of the day, we go back to God. And I know he took a murderer, and he took an adulterer, and he took a thief, and he took probably, I'm assuming, a homosexual.
Paul was an unbeliever. Who said?
He took a blasphemer. He took all these things that the church, quote-unquote, shuns. He took all of those people and made examples out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though I tell you not to do this, I'm still about love and I still use you. I still love you. I just tell you what not to do. So I'm going back to the point of church. Why can't we focus on the love part as opposed to the what not to do part?
Mm-hmm.
We and God. You can't tell me. You can tell me what the book says, but it's not your place to condemn me. You're not a judge. You're not. You don't own that title.
Mm-hmm.
And you set yourself up for a hard time by doing so.
I think you do yourself more harm by condemning me than you do by condemning me.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And if I'm, like Ross said earlier, the judgment thing, that's a total judgment. Now, you ain't got no business judging. Now, on top of the fact that you do all 6, 7 of these other sins exempt homosexuality out of this equation, you do all 6 or 7 of them, now you putting on top of that judgment, because you judge me.
Now, I'm a preacher. Got a wife. I just left my girlfriend house Saturday night. Get up this Sunday and tell all y'all clubbers and homosexuals how wrong y'all are. It's true. What a sense in that. But nobody say nothing. I can see you leaving your old lady house. Wait, where your wife at though?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can't sit here and debate it. It's the truth. And it just points out where a lot of times where we going to the point where we want to point out everybody else's fault. It's just like we always say, don't sweep around your own front door before you come over here.
And the whole reason I say that is we shouldn't be sweeping around nobody's door, period.
Mm-hmm.
Just sweep mine. I don't care if you're dirty.
Yeah.
If you good in your dirt, stay good in your dirt.
I ain't got to come over.
I don't have to live.
I do not have to come over there.
I don't understand why that's such a hard concept to grasp. Why do we feel the need to correct you?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to make you, quote-unquote, right?
Mm-hmm. And then you know what?
Fix you. Why I got to fix you?
Because it'll fix us. It'll be the way we want. And I fight with that a lot, too. I fight with that. Because I'm going to say, and be honest, I have that issue where I want things to go the way I want to. So that means I want you to say what I want you to. And in understanding that, I'm starting to understand the fact of the matter is, you might not want to hear what I got to say. So if I want you to accept me, I got to be willing to accept you also.
That's it. Again, mine is mine. I might have to have to say this for somebody who ain't going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
They know what you're going to say. They might know what I'm going to say, but I said something off the wall, and they listen. End of the day, man. This thing, I know we got off of the, and it's hard to stay on this topic because it encompasses so much. You know what I mean? Like,
because
it's not
religion.
Just about this.
Once you draw the religion in it, and that's, like you said, T. Early, you made this point, and it's really that point. Religion is what convolutes the whole LGBT movement.
Religion is what convolutes the whole.
I would agree with that also.
It is why we can't love one another. As silly as that sounds, we all buy into a religion to segregate ourselves, to keep ourselves weak. One religion is always right, the other one is always wrong. Even within a religion, you have sections within that religion that feel like the other sections within the same religion are wrong. How does that make sense to anybody? Stupid. Religion is the problem.
Ross, would you agree? Or do you disagree with that?
Oh, I agree. Because, like you were saying with the pastor leaving his old lady house, going home to his wife, but you got an issue with me being in a committed relationship with somebody who I don't cheat on.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that you have some pastors who talk about the people who go out and club, but they go out of town to do their clubbing. You know, it all goes back to the fact that a sin is a sin. And if I am living in my sin, dealing with my sin, battling with my sin, that makes no difference than the next person who is doing the same thing with their sin. So why is it that, you know, you'll frown upon a person that lives a life to be happy, the same way you live your life to be happy, and have an issue with the way they try to find their happiness? Again, God is going to be the final judge of everything. And it is required of us that when we know better, we do better.
Mm-hmm.
But it all goes back to what you all were saying. It's about love. Love the hell right up out of me. Then maybe if I am wrong, God will lay it upon my heart and change my nature. Until then, who can say right, wrong, indifferent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe a person can. Because if you're going to judge a person based upon who they quote-unquote love or they choose to spend their life with or have these dealings with, then be prepared to be judged upon the life that you live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, then your voice doesn't even matter anyway. If you hide your hand after you throw the rock, allow me to catch it and throw it back at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I'm padding that. Love.
No,
hey,
I'm still in that. I'm still in that one. I was gonna say I'm still in that one right now. I'm gonna love the hell right out.
I like that. I like
but
that.
At the end of the day, like what else can you say? How else can you put yourself in a situation where you have a person? I don't want to say a pastor. You have a person who's delivering a message.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you have a person who's throwing these Bible scriptures at you and how you should live and this, that, and the third and what God said and boom, 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 boom. And you may sit and listen and you may take some out of that and you may feel like, okay, I get it. But then on the other hand, you have a person who's standing in front of you and tell you, I'm unqualified to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dirty. I fornicate, lie. I'm a sinner. You ain't got to list out your sins. I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that grace, through grace,
mm-hmm.
I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to be saved in all my faults. Now, that don't mean that I'm going to just continue to do what I do just because there's grace there. No, I understand. But God has loved me enough to give me a message to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is this. Boom. Which one are you going to take? Which one are you more apt to receive?
I'm going with the latter because I see relatability in me and you.
There it is.
Because you told me you sin.
I'm
this is what I do.
I'm dirty.
I'm just like you. But I understand through grace. Makes total sense. Total sense.
I don't know. I guess we came to. I'm a halt right
we
now.
We came to because I think we all agreed on something. There really was nothing else to say there. But this is the thing, too, and I think this is a good point to point out at this point. When you say spirituality and you say spiritual impact, a spiritual for me, and this is totally my definition, but for me, spirituality comes between you and your personal connection with whatever your higher being may be. So if that, in return, implies that you're a homosexual or you're heterosexual, that's your spiritual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it from that impact, we have to be okay with whatever choice anyone else makes. You have to be okay if you see it from a spiritual standpoint.
I get what you're saying, and I agree, but I come back to this question. Why do I have to? Why does it even matter to me?
Right. I get that.
Whether it's okay or not, that means I'm putting too much thought into your personal life.
Right.
If I'm trying to decipher if it's okay or not, I'm too much in your business.
Right, but I say that in contrast to condemning. That's why I say being okay. But I get what you're saying. At the end of the day, it is what it is. It really ain't none of my business.
Look, I know. And I'm trying to get to this point. This made me better stuff. It got me. I'm trying to get to this point where, man, look, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where you've been, what you've done, who you are, what you know, what you don't, how you talk, how you dress. I can care less. Do you know God? If you don't, I'll tell you who is me, and I'm done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we sit down and have a conversation? If we can't, let's talk. If we can't, okay, cool, boom. Have a good day. After that, I'm done.
I still love you. And next time you see me,
it's
conversation
the
conversation is the
same. Same exact conversation. I don't care about all the rest of that. I can't. Why? I got too much hell going on right here.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I turn, I see hell. Why am I be concerned with your hell?
And that's it for me right there. We all in the same struggle. We're all in the same battle, pretty much. We just approaching that battle from different angles. So, for me, on your point, Corey, why does it even matter?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like Ross said, I'm not going to be standing up there next to you
mm-mm.
when your judgment day comes.
And if I happen to be, I'm quiet.
I ain't saying nothing.
Hey, I got to worry about my list.
That's it.
My list of sins over here.
That's
I run
all
you
want to take off the start with.
Yeah.
Is you know what he's going to call out on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes.
So you know, not to come off as if you know I. Don't care if, because I have friends that are lesbian. One of my closest friends is lesbian, and I care about her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't sit here and say I could care less if you get sent to hell or you're damned to hell.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you know what I'm saying, as long as you have a relationship with God, and I know you have a relationship with God, you pray to God every day, then as far as I'm concerned, you're good.
I didn't want to give it that I don't care. What I said was it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference in I don't care and it don't matter. Like, I can know and I can, but it don't matter. And the it don't matter part means that I'm not going to separate myself from you because I know.
Right, right. That doesn't separate you.
No. With people. Now, I had this conversation 2 years ago. It was totally different.
Right.
About a lot of stuff. Not just this conversation because religion, once again.
Very far.
Always. Now, once I found out what that is and what that does, I don't want no part. I want absolutely zero parts of religion. Anything religious, I don't want no part.
When you take religion out of it, it's so humanistic. It becomes so united and it becomes so humanist. Because look at it this way. Without religion in this conversation, we all have an understanding. If you put religion back in this, I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from my standpoint, and I don't understand what you're saying at all, period.
Yeah.
But because you take religion out and you just get the spirituality, your understanding of God tells you to love, period, point blank. No religion in that, no nothing else, just period, I'm supposed to love. So I have to love everyone. And when I do, it works. When I don't, which is on the other hand, which was religion for me in the past, it didn't work. I had a problem with everybody.
Yeah.
Or somebody had a problem with me because I believed in what I should be doing. You know what's crazy about religion? I'm from the point is, religion will mess you up more than the outside religious person will mess you up.
Absolutely.
Because you will be knowing you're doing something wrong. And you know religion tells you not to do it, and it's eat you up before somebody else say it. So when they do say it, now you get real mad with them. Now you got a problem with them and yourself.
Wait, I want to throw this question out there since we're talking about love. Ross, you hear me?
Yeah.
Ross, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, we're going to get off of, because I think at this point,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about spirituality and LGBT or whatever else, the answer is love. Okay?
Right.
We,
yeah.
We pretty much got that. My question to y'all is, from your understanding, what do you do or how do you handle it when love don't love you back?
Ross, you want to tackle that one?
When love don't love you back, it's not love.
Ah, I knew it, and that's what I wanted to go with. Go ahead, Ross.
It is absolutely not love, because love is something that does not waver. It's something that does not pick and choose when to love you. It is a consistent thing. So if someone can say that they love you, but they don't love you wholeheartedly, that's not love. That right there is probably more along the lines of being content or being along the lines of comfort. I can love to work out, but Lord, it's some days that I just don't want to. So that means that I have a give and take type of relationship, but it's not necessarily love when it comes to that. So when it boils down to people loving people, if you can't love me regardless of the things that pop up in my life, then it's got to be something else other than love. Love doesn't have eyes to see.
Now, I understand that part. I understand when you try to love a love that don't love you. What I'm asking is, being that we've come to the conclusion that God tells us to love, and love unconditionally. When you love, but love doesn't return love because they don't have the same understanding you have. That's the question I'm asking. We know that they're not loving. That's why I can say, well, they don't love back. Now, do I in turn stop loving? Or how do I handle that? Because from my understanding, I'm supposed to love regardless. Regardless of what they do to you, regardless of how it goes, you're supposed to love. So now when I'm giving mine and I'm not getting it back, how do you handle that?
Let me answer this for you, Ross. You love the hell out of it.
Yep.
Because that's what it is. The only way for them to get love is for you to show it to them. If they don't understand love, the only way for us to understand love, and we all understand love, and I'm going to tell you why, we got mamas. Because that's a love that we'll never get from nowhere else. It's an unconditional, no matter what you do, all the time in love.
Mama, my love that I received or understand from a maternal figure, I can't compare that to another relationship. I'm talking about that maternal love is only going to be one place. That's the only place that's going to come
from. But
it's
love, though. We can't change the dynamic, the definition of love just because of the situation.
Even in that, maternal love ain't always what it should be.
Yeah, that's true. Nah, I agree with that.
So I'm talking about the love from our understanding that we sitting here understanding what love is, basically God, the way God tells us to love, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all understand it. We all understand that that's our mission. That's what we should do. Love. It's a hell of a thing when you understand that and you make up in your mind or try to make up in your mind that that's what you're going to be. That's what you're going to do. My question to you becomes, how do you keep pressing through that when you face opposition in that? Because we all know love can be taken for a number of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Love can be taken for stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Love can be taken for weakness. Love can be taken for ignorance. Love can be taken for, it can be taken for love if the person understands what it is they have. What do you do when it's mistaken? When it's a case of mistaken identity, like I'm doing what I'm doing because I love you and that's it. I'm not stupid. I'm not ignorant. I see that you ain't loving me back. I see that you're not receiving what I'm giving. As a human, it's hard for me to continue to keep trying to give that when I'm getting the opposite. So I guess what I'm saying is, how do you pull that strength to keep going?
Pray. That's the only thing I can say. You got to pray your way through that one. Because, I mean, you have to pray for strength and guidance for that. Because, I mean, because we say love is all that matters. So because this person doesn't necessarily love you back the way you feel like you should be loved back.
But love is what it is. It ain't about how I feel. It's love. Once you see it, you can't deny it.
But then that's where you get caught up in your feelings, as they say.
How?
You have to be somewhere in your back of your mind, okay, I'm putting forth love. Well, who's to say they're not loving you? I mean, they
because
might have love for you.
You can't confuse love. You can't miss love. I'm of that opinion. You can't. There's no way you can miss love once you have an understanding of what it is. Now I'm talking about.
And that's where I guess that's where I'm coming from. So that person's understanding the love from their perspective,
right? And the average person doesn't have that understanding because they'll tell you, "Well, if they don't love you, then don't love them."
Right.
Or if they ain't gonna do it for you, don't do it for them. But that's not the right answer.
You gotta have spirituality to have love to understand love. Because the only way to understand it then is because you understand God.
Right.
That's your spiritual connection. So you get the love he has for you, which then enables you to get the love the hell up out of me. Because you know what it would take so much. Not even I shouldn't say take, but what the progression of that can come about,
mm-hmm.
what will come about from it. So like you said, yeah, you see it. And you may see it, and it may not be the love you want. But once you understand love, you know a person loves. Now, when you don't, because you don't know how to love, you don't know what a person is giving you.
Can I?
Go ahead.
I love this conversation we had. But I would like to throw a monkey wrench in it real quick and hopefully get Ross back involved. I want to tackle the T.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to
do my end of note impersonation.
Okay.
At, all right. First transgender pastor to preach at the Washington National Cathedral. Okay, so Reverend Dr. Cameron Partridge will be the first transgender pastor to preach at the historic Washington National Cathedral. How y'all boys feel about that?
In having the conversation that I just had? And not wanting to be a part of religion whatsoever, I can care less that they're transgender. If they have a message from God, give it.
Why does it matter?
Go.
If you understand God, receive it. their personal struggles, battles, choices, decisions, whatever, that's between them. God. We just said God used everybody. We know he used murderers. We know why he can't use somebody who's transgender, somebody who's ignorant, somebody who stutter. I mean, if your message came from God, and obviously you've been put in this place for a reason. Now, it could man could have put you there to prove a point, but if God allowed it, it's for a reason.
Ross, how you feel about that, Ross?
I'm feeling the same way, because in all things you have to understand that when God gives a person a certain thing, you have to to accept that as God given. Let me say it like this. Most people can tell when something has come from God and when something has come from man that claims it is from God. And in doing so, you have to be aware that when God gives it to you and you give it, you have to let people accept it how they're going to accept it. You can't force them to accept it. So whether you are that person that stutters, if you're the ignorant person, if you are that transgender person, if God gave it to you, give it how God gave it to you and let him do the separating. Because if you don't, then you fall right back into the category with those people who are just going to judge because it's something that is unfamiliar to them.
Great point, Ross.
That's it.
I piggyback off and agree. That's all I need to say. You know, Bone, I think you said we got a caller.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we got a caller. Bring him on.
All right, caller, you live. You got a question, comment, concern? Hello?
Caller, you here?
All right, our caller ain't ready.
All right, then.
We couldn't get that caller in. Try to call back in, we welcome to hearing your opinion or whatever statement you may have. Like we said, it's an open forum. We're not.
What I get from this conversation, and I close out all of them the same. I'm finding that I'm closing out all our conversations the same way here recently. Because we can sit and have the conversation and come to the conclusions we come to about love, that means we have an understanding about what it is, and that therefore we assume an accountability. We have to also understand that, or Corey has to understand that everybody's not going to have the same understanding. Everybody's not going to accept it, even if they understand it. I'm caught up in something else. Like, I don't feel like I should let you slap me twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I should allow you to hurt me again. But at the end of the day, once you understand love, you open yourself up to whatever it may come. If you trust in God, you open yourself up to whatever may be. That's the difficult part about it. That's what makes the journey hard, because you're dealing with man, and man is full of sin. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
That don't mean it's impossible.
No. That's impossible.
How do you say it's hard but it's tough?
It's hard but it's fair.
If you're able to conceptualize that and you're able to walk in that, your life, you have that heaven record. With everything you're going to go through, with all the struggles, with all the people talking about you, about the decisions you make, with everything else, as long as you are good within your understanding and your actions, nothing else matters. It does not matter.
True. Great point. Mom?
Well, can't really follow that, but hey, pretty much the same. I guess I'll just piggyback it. You know, it really don't matter, man. I'm more concerned with my walk.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about, you know, my path and what I'm put here to do. So I don't have time to worry about someone else's walk. I'm too concerned about my own.
Yeah.
I just want to throw, I just love the hell up out of them, man. That stuck in my brain.
Yeah,
I love that. I'm glad I got it today. I'm going to try to, man, just love the hell up out.
Appreciate that, Ross. Ross, what you got for us?
All I can say is that once people realize that the walks that we take in life are individual, and that we are the people that have to stand before God in judgment for how we walk, then there'll be a lot more love going on. Because I'm going to love my neighbor the way I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but if my neighbor chooses to make a decision that impacts their life, it's not for me to say they right or wrong. I can have my opinion, and we all do, and we all will. But when it boils down to it, that neighbor is going to have to stand for themselves. So the only thing I can do is do what I feel is right. And when I do what I feel is right, I stand in knowing that, well, I should say I stand in hoping that other people do the same thing and not judge me based upon how my walk is, but how their walk is, they judge themselves.
Great point, Ross. It's been very enlightening, this conversation. I think we took a lot from it. I know I did personally, especially that love the hell about it. I mean, that's going to resonate with me for a while. I really like that. To have that kind of conceptual understanding inside yourself to say that means that you are open to loving the hell up out of somebody and also having them love the hell up out of you yourself. You know what I'm saying? Which is a hell of a commit. I mean, what word am I looking for? A hell of a admission.
Yeah.
To admit to.
Revelation.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing, Ross. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on and doing the show with us. Don't be no stranger. Come back whenever you get ready. Call in. You know hey, this is what it is. We all grew up together. It ain't number love. And then wherever love at, that's where I'm at. What y'all boys got, man?
Check this out, man. I'm listening to you talk, dog, and I'm like, you said this a couple shows ago, like if it's four of us in this conversation right now,
mm-hmm.
and if each one of us makes the decision to go with our understanding and genuinely love the hell up out of everybody we
mm-hmm.
come in contact with, you in turn change every single one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they learn it and love the hell up out of everybody they come in contact with. It changes the world. It only starts with one. It's hard. And you have the outside influences of what, again, how people going to take what you're giving and this, that, and the third. They're going to call me soft. They're going to take advantage of me. They're going to hurt me. They're going to do this. They're going to do that if you don't love them.
Yes. That's why it's hard by itself.
They're going to do
everybody
it.
Everybody got it. I seen this the other day, and this was, I called the previous show, Chanel called in, Chanel Robinson. I seen a post she had, and she said, "Today I realized that it's unfair for everybody,
mm-hmm.
which makes it fair."
That's true.
That is so true. That is so true. I seen that, and I was like, "Wow, that's a great statement." Because if you really think about it for what it's worth, ain't nobody no different than you.
That's true.
Ain't nobody no different than you. We all here, and we all got one mission. And I believe this. I believe this in everything in me. I believe our one mission is to serve our God. And if you do that, all you need to do is serve. That's the only requirement of God, is to serve. That's it. Y'all know it's by that time.
Yeah.
and the only requirement is to serve. So if that's all I got to do, and then on the return of that, I get all these blessings, I'm going to keep doing it. And then doing so, if I'm loving the hell up out of you and making you be the same person, imagine a world where everybody loving the hell up out of each other.
Wow. You ain't gonna be no heaven.
Okay. You got heaven right here on earth. I believe that. I believe because I live in my mind with God. That's where I'm at all times. I'm in heaven. I just have to deal with the unfairness of being here on earth. That's it. That's it. But it's fair because it ain't no different than what you're dealing with. I just outwardly say what I'm dealing with.
And you got an advantage because you got somebody with you that you know is there.
Got it.
Everybody else got him and may not necessarily know that he's there.
I did for a long time. He was right there with me. The only reason I can sit here today is because he watched over me to bring me to the point where he finally said, I'm going to follow you.
Man.
I accept you.
I'm going to follow you. Because if you took me through that, man, guess what we're going to do together now that I get it? Wow.
Yeah.
Ross, been a pleasure,
yeah.
Ross.
I appreciate y'all.
Ross, you got any closing words for him or anything you want to close it out with? We got to close up the show. We hate doing this. We always hate closing the show because these conversations are so good. And we appreciate, really, really appreciate you stepping in and putting your insight in, because your opinion is wanted and it's needed and it's powerful. So continue to do that. My black sister, my cousin, my good friend, and I love you.
Love you back. And I just want to tell you fellas, thank you for allowing me to participate this evening. And I just want to encourage people to seek within themselves the love that we've been talking about, because that ultimately will be what will make or break us.
You know,
what's up? Y'all boys, they got out. Close out the show.
Like,
throw my hands up.
Bone throwing his hands up. Y'all can't see this, but everybody fell back and threw their hands up. Everybody threw back and fell back and threw their hands up. That's the beautiful thing of God. It's just really a beautiful thing. Love is love. And that's it. With that being said, lock your doors, open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Boys in unison.
T-O-A-B out.
I'm a die, try.